Scripted with Niamh O'Connor, a Go Loud original podcast.
Hi guys, my name's Niamh O'Connor and this is my podcast Unscripted, a Go Loud original. You might have seen me on social media, but if you haven't seen me on social media, don't worry. There's loads of time to get to know me on this podcast. I spill all of my secrets. I tell you all of my traumas. I cry regularly. I laugh regularly. It's a roller coaster of emotions. Every week, guys, I pick a topic. I talk about it. I try to stick to the topic. A lot of the time I don't. And I answer your dilemmas. If you're a new listener, welcome and strap yourself in. Come along with me for the ride. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. Thank you for listening every week.
On this week's episode of Unscripted, me and Lauren talked about how we literally predicted the future with Chris and Jojo. We talked all about how I'm going on holidays next week. We answered some listener questions. We heard a very traumatizing trauma dump and we answered one of your dilemmas. Hello guys and welcome back to episode 36 of Unscripted. We have some feedback this week. I'm going to read it out because let's start this week on a positive note. I've had a very positive day, but I'll tell you about my day after. So, hey Niamh, not a dilemma, but I just wanted to say I love watching your videos and listening to your podcast. You're such a lovely down-to-earth person and you're so real. I especially have to commend you for how supportive you are of others, whether they have a big or small following, or just in general. You're just a truly genuine girl and I hope you are proud of yourself with all you have achieved. Stay true to yourself and never give up. You're an inspiration. Lots of love, girl. That is so sweet. I never know what to say to these feedbacks. I'm like, I know I've said it 100 times before, but I think it's just an Irish mentality of not knowing how to take a compliment. So when people are like, you're lovely, I'm like, no, I'm horrible. I'm a bitch. But thank you so much. I appreciate that. I don't know what else to say. I'm lost for words. Guys, it's Friday today. So I know you're listening on Wednesday, but hope you have a good Friday this week and hope your Wednesday is good. This is our second episode recording of the week because I'm actually off to Ionapa. We had Dylan on the other day, and now I'm off to Ionapa on the 9th. I go to Ionapa till the 12th. Then I come home for 5 days, not even 5 days, because I'm flying off then again on the 17th to Tenerife. So really, I'm only home for 3 full days before I fly off. My day has actually been very positive. I've been shopping for summer clothes and for once it didn't give me a complex. Most of the time it gives me a complex. Today it didn't. I was just in a really good mood today. And do you know what, girls? I hate trying things on. Is anyone else like me? I go into a fitting room and I'm just so overstimulated, sweating, like in bits, literally feeling bits. But today I felt great. I was in a good mood. I don't know what is going on because that is a fucking rare occurrence, let me tell you. Had a lovely Caesar salad from Chopped on my lunch. Oh, my dad just texted me saying it looks fancy because I sent him a picture. And yeah, that's all I've been doing really. I can't really update you on my week because it's only, what, a couple of days since I've last been recording. But I'm really excited. I'm going to Ionapa. I'm sharing a room with Lauren Murta. We have to get Lauren on the pod after we come back from Ionapa to tell all the Ionapa tales. But I'm sharing a room with Lauren Murta. It's going to be so much. Who's going, actually? Let me think. So there's me. Daniel isn't going. Daniel, it does party hard, but he's not going to this one. Shanice, Brandon. Who else? The Galaxy Boys, so Dylan, Aiden and Dara. I don't know if Owen is going. I'm not sure. And who else? Lauren and Casey. I think that's everyone. Oh, Niamh Gallagher. So yeah, it's going to be an absolute ball. It's going to be just a week of, well, 6 days. How many days? 6 to the 12th. Yeah, 6 days of mayhem. Constant drinking. I've decided, guys, right, because the thing is on these, like, it's party hard, so obviously, you know, you need to party hard. But I've decided that I'm not going to party hard. I'm just going to look like I'm partying hard because I hate drinking. I actually hate drinking. I don't like drinking every single day. To be fair, I'll be partying hard after one drink because I have absolutely no tolerance to alcohol. But the thing about me is, do you know, my manager actually keeps saying to me, Niamh, I think you're allergic to alcohol. And I actually have to agree with her because if I have one drink, I'm deathly hungover, like deathly hungover. That reminds me, I need to get Dioralites. Let me just quickly take that down in my notes. Sorry, Lauren.
Out of pure curiosity, was your child Chopped?
Yeah, I seen that. I seen the fucking thing on TikTok where they're saying Chopped is not Chopped anymore. My Chopped was Chopped. They obviously just got a bad batch.
Do you think so? But weren't they saying, like, I think they put out like an actual statement being like, yeah, your Chopped isn't going to be Chopped anymore. I think I'm nearly sure I saw.
Look at mine. Mine was Chopped.
To be fair, yeah. That is well chopped.
That's well chopped. Like, that is chopped to bits. Honestly, and it was so... I don't know what they do. Like, look, do you know the thing is? I'm like, oh, I'm so healthy. I'm getting a Caesar salad. And my friend Sindel, the other day I got a Caesar salad in O'Brien's. And my friend Sindel replied and was like, Niamh, you may as well just have a fucking toasty because a fucking Caesar salad has just so many calories. I was like, Sindel, stop braining on my parade. But I feel mad healthy when I eat a salad just because it has vegetables in it. So, yeah, but it was lovely. Lauren, I don't know what is in there. They put crisps or something in their Caesar salad.
Croutons, no?
Yeah, but they put like, look, like actual, like they chopped up like little bits of like some sort of like, I don't know if it's dried. It's not croutons. The croutons are like here.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is like dried bread or something. But it was so nice. It was really, really, really nice. I don't know what these things are. What are they? Are they sun-dried tomatoes or something?
Yeah, it looks like it, yeah.
Yeah, oh my God. It was delicious. So, so, so good. So yeah, that's been my day. I'm trying to think. Oh, we got a TV hung on our bedroom wall. I know that's no interest to anybody, but we got it. Oh my God. Also, I got the nicest nails, Lauren. I got these in a little walk-in salon.
They are fab.
Look, does that look like, no offence, right? Maybe I'm wrong, but normally when I go to a walk-in salon, I never ask for anything that's mad designed or anything because every single time it's like you ask for a flower with like six petals and you get a flower with three petals. Every single time. So I've just learned to be like, okay, I'm not going to get a design and I always get French tip. Also, I'm very, very, I'm like the weirdo. I think I've said this before. In my hair, nail, lashes appointments, I have my AirPods in. I am not talking. I don't want to talk. And it's not because I'm rude. I think it's the neurodivergence. It's like, I just need to calm, not talk to anyone. I just get very overwhelmed. Where was I going with this? Like, I don't have the head to have a podcast, lads. Actually, I don't because I'm too fucking stupid. But yeah, I went in and it was a girl and she was absolutely amazing. Like, that's like pure 3D flowers and everything on my nails.
Yeah, they're absolutely fab.
Unreal. I think they're the best nails I've ever got from a walk-in salon. And people think that I'm being a bitch because everyone's asking me, where'd you get your nails done? But I don't want to say where I got my nails done because then I'm saying where I'm living. You know what I mean? People ask me all the time. They'll be like, I'll post something. They'll be like, oh my God, where's this? And if it's in the area that I live, I just won't say. And then people think I'm gatekeeping. It's like, I'm actually not gatekeeping. I'm just scared for my life. Do you know how many fucking weirdos follow me on Instagram? Do you know what else I did, lads? Oh my God. Oh my God. Wait till you hear this. I actually have a rant. Sorry, my brain's all splatty today. First thing I did, sent out a load of Vinted orders with my fucking address on it. Well done for me. And I wouldn't mind, I only warned Charlene not to do that very recently. When Charlene had her Vinted up, I texted her because I know everything Charlene has gone through. And I didn't know if she was aware that when you send something on Vinted, it sends your address. So I text Charlene being like, hey, like, make sure you change your address. But then I bought something off Vinted off a girl, right? And I had to change my address from my local post office address, because that's what I had it as, to my actual address to get, obviously, the parcel posted to me. And then I shipped out a load of orders after. But I accidentally sent one of the packages out with my address on it. So I really hope that everything is going to be okay. Please don't stalk me. Oh, my rant. I don't know if I should. No, I don't want to rant because the post office was so busy yesterday. I always go to the post office on like the busiest fucking days at the busiest fucking time. So the post office was crazy busy yesterday. And I pack my Vinted orders, right? And I write on the Vinted order, like, say it's a pair of Nike Pros. Nike Pro. I write it onto the envelope and put them in, right? So I always know what. Because, sorry guys, I'm so splat. On Vinted, just for reference, when you're shipping something, it doesn't give you a label. They scan in the post office your like digital label. They print it out and they put it on. I go to the post office at the busiest fucking time known to man. And the girls are obviously stressed out
at the post office. Like, there's fucking about a million people queuing up and it's never ending. Like, I was waiting about half an hour, and then by the time I was got to the top, there was people out the door again. So it was just ridiculous. And then obviously in the middle of like a busy rush, you don't want to be scanning fucking 20 vintage parcels. Like, totally get it, completely understand. It's just fucking, these things happen. But I get 4 or 5 messages today. I think it was 4 messages today saying I got the wrong thing. So obviously there must have been. I know that it wasn't when I was packing the stuff in, because as I said, I write what's on in the envelope on the outside of the envelope. So obviously there was a mix up in the post office when they were putting the labels on, which is fine. These things happen. But now I'm panicking because I'm like, what the fuck do I do? I think I'm just going to refund everyone and let them keep what they had. These things happen. I'm not giving out. Please don't take it as me being like, oh my God, the fucking post office. I'm not. It's just stressful. When I got 4 messages this morning being like, hi, Niamh, like, I'm after getting a pair of Nike Pros, but I ordered, like, a jumper. Like, them two things don't even fucking correlate to each other. Like, someone mightn't even be the same size on the bottom as they are on the top, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that was my negative of the day. But see the way I'm being so positive about it? That's it. It's because I have a holiday coming up. Oh, girls, I'm getting lashes tomorrow. For the first time. Sorry, this is how uninteresting my life is. You know, one of the girls in my agency last night was like, petition for Niamh to start a YouTube. And I said, girls, you actually would bore yourself to sleep if you watched me on YouTube, because I do the exact same thing at the exact same time every single fucking day. Like, I have absolutely no variety in my life. Nothing exciting. I just do the same shit all the time. And that's what makes me happy. That's what excites me. What was I going to say there? Oh, yeah, I'm getting my lashes done tomorrow for the first time in ages. I haven't had my lashes done in ages, but I don't know if anyone else is like me. I love my face now without lashes. I've actually become one that prefers my face without lashes, but not when I'm on holidays. When I'm on holidays, I need the lashes, or else I just don't feel done. And I feel like I look more put together on holidays with lashes. I know loads of you are going to disagree. I feel like the lash trend is kind of dying out. Like, a lot of girls aren't getting lashes anymore. A lot of girls are outgrowing lashes. Are eyelash extensions something that you outgrow? That's what I want to know. Because when I was a teenager and into my early 20s, I had Russian volume. Like, I was flying away with these eyelashes stuck to my eyes. They were, and don't get me wrong, Russian volumes look amazing on some people, but it all depends on your eye shape. You know what I mean? Like, not everybody is going to look the same in a pair of Russian volumes. And for me, they did not suit my eyes, okay? They were literally the whole size of my eyes. They weighed my whole eyes down. And then Lauren was actually just saying before we started the podcast, as the podcast has gone on, you've seen like the lashes get smaller and smaller and smaller to eventually none. I don't know. I fear I might regret getting the lashes, because every time I get them, I have about 3 lashes left in my head when I take them out. But I have serums and stuff now, so hopefully they'll grow back. I feel lash extensions is something you grow out. I think, like, once you kind of, maybe you stop, I haven't even had my eyebrows done in about 3 months. So maybe I've just stopped prioritizing how I look. Is that? No, I definitely haven't. I was about to say, is that growth? But I definitely haven't stopped prioritizing how I look. Right, lads, we need to discuss. I was actually about to move on to our little topic, but me and Lauren actually are psychics. Like, we are mediums. So if anybody wants any bookings, come to us, because we fucking predicted Jojo and Chris.
We really did.
We predicted it.
I would also like to say as well, because people might be like, oh, well, you said it the week that it came out. We recorded that a week in advance. So,
yeah. Facts.
I have the timestamps.
Facts. And do you know what's interesting? Now it looks like it might be that Jojo's into Chris and Chris isn't into Jojo.
Yeah, he's gone very quiet on it. Now, whether that's like I'm going quiet because I don't want to comment on it or whatever, because I'd say he's definitely getting more hate than she is.
Oh, yeah, facts.
But did you see the picture of her in his clothes from the episode?
You're lying.
So, yeah. So she was walking through the airport and she was just like, if you saw it at a first glance, you wouldn't think anything of it, right? So it was her in a grey hoodie and an orange beanie. And then someone, I fucking love TikTok. Like, I genuinely love TikTok when people put this together, because I'm like, you are the people that are out doing God's work putting these things together for us people that are just plain nosy.
Yeah.
And it was a picture of Chris in an episode of Big Brother in the same grey hoodie and the orange beanie. Hang on off.
Oh, so they fucked. No, I don't know if they did, but that's very much given, like, yeah, like why wear it publicly when you know, like, I don't know. I think Chris was playing a game, but I think Jojo might have feelings for Chris. That's my opinion.
Oh, here we go. So here's the picture of Jojo in the hoodie and the orange.
Yeah.
Her head is cut off a little bit. And there's Chris wearing the same.
Oh my God, yeah.
Actually, yeah. No, that is the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I think even when you kind of watched, she done an interview and she was like, yeah, it's totally platonic, but who knows about the future? And that gave me like, if you didn't like someone, you just feel like, oh my God, no, like that's my friend, you know? Like if somebody said to me, oh, like, can you see yourself getting with your friend? I'd be like, no, like that's gross. Not gross, but yeah, gross because they're your friend. And the fact she didn't say that, I don't know. I think Jojo has feelings for Chris. Apparently Chris signed up for a dating show.
Really?
Yeah, I literally just seen it when I was having my Chopped. It said, Chris, oh my God, it was on goss.ie. Let me look.
Oh, and like they're good with their research.
Yeah.
Compared to them.
Yeah, they literally have everything up the second that happens, before it even fucking happens. I'm like, how are you doing that?
She also said when she was going to the airport, there was journalists there. And, you know, they were like, did you enjoy Big Brother? And she was like, I loved it, blah, blah, blah. And then they said to her, like, what are you going to do now? And she was like, I want to get back to the UK as soon as possible. So,
oh,
do you reckon she's going to move in with him?
It'll
be that, oh, I'm going to live with him until I get settled or something.
Yeah, that's very fucking hasty.
Yeah.
I can't find it on goss.ie now, so maybe it wasn't goss.ie. But I seen it. It was like, Chris dismisses rumours of relationship with Jojo by signing up for dating show or something like that. But I don't know. I think they got it on. Chris is so much older than Jojo.
Yeah, there's 10 years in the difference.
Yeah, like he'd want to get a grip of himself now.
Now, like, it is completely legal. Let's get that right. But
yeah,
like, it's just weird.
And Jojo is like, to me, Jojo is very... Like, I know she's a grown woman and I don't want to sound patronising, but like, there is definitely a big, well, no, because Chris is a man. The other thing is, right, a lot of the time...
There's 11 years in the difference. He's 32, she's 21.
But see, he's probably only 21 in his head because men mature slower than women mature.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I feel like Jojo is very childlike. Like, I think there was a different side of her shown in Big Brother. But I do, like, but maybe that's just from, like, the Jojo Bo era that
well,
I think that way.
That's all I think of when I see her.
Yeah.
Because, like, Jojo is not my era. And I remember when, like, my little cousins were wearing the Jojo Bows. And, like, I was like, who is this Jojo Bo kid? And you'd see them watching her on the telly and she was literally a child.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I was, you know, a teenager to an adult at that stage. So was Chris. Do you know that way?
Yeah.
Like, me and Chris are the same age, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I have a friend that, like, her boyfriend is a lot older than her. And, like, they're perfect together. Like, you wouldn't think that there's, like, this big age gap. And I do think a lot of the time that men and women, I don't know, like, I think women mature a lot faster than men. So sometimes when there is that big age gap, it doesn't seem like there is mentally. Does that make sense? Because even now, right, I'm not even being rude, okay, Alex? I love you so much, okay? But Alex, to me, sometimes still has, like, a lot younger mentality than me. Like, I'm like, okay, like, let's, like... I don't know. I feel like women are very maternal and mature, especially once women hit their late 20s. I fear we get very maternal and we really do grow up overnight, I think. Whereas boys are still like, oh, like the lads. You know what I mean? Like, do you get me?
Yeah.
Another thing is that boys often have like very big groups of friends, like with like 20 lads, whereas girls will often have like groups with like 3 girls. And everyone says that's because girls are more bitchy. Trust me and believe lads are more bitchy than girls. They're actually worse, more bitchy, more catty and more secretive about it. But I actually think that, again, comes down to a maturity thing, because when you're a teenager, you love having a big, huge group of friends, loads of people. But as you get older, you like keeping your group smaller and closer and tighter and like know who to trust kind of thing. I feel like that's a big difference. And now, don't get me wrong, I know there's lads that have only a few friends and girls that have like loads of friends. But I just see it quite often, like even like Alex has a huge group of friends, like huge, like there must be about 25 of them. I'm not even joking. There must be about 25 of them. And I put myself in that, and I love all of Alex's friends, let me just say that here and now, but I put myself in the position of like having like 25 best friends and I'm like, absolutely not. My head would be fucking done in. I could never in my life have 25 best friends. I don't think I ever have. Maybe I'm just not as popular as him. Maybe I'm not as likable. But yeah, Chris and Jojo, do we think they got it on?
We need to put up a poll on the Instagram page, I think.
Yeah, we definitely do. Yeah. 100%. But you know, one thing I seen and I didn't like it, there was people coming to me and like, Mickey Rourke was right. I don't like that because Mickey Rourke was being a sexist, misogynistic, homophobic pig. He wasn't saying it in a way of like, oh yeah, like he was literally being a pig. So stop using anything that happened with Jojo and Chris to justify Mickey Rourke being homophobic. Can I just say that here and now?
Speaking of the Instagram, I put up a question box to see what sort of questions the listeners would like to ask Niamh. And the first question that you got is from longtime listener Ella. Shout out to Ella. She always gives us some good content. She said, what is your favourite thing about doing the podcast and why?
Ooh, what's my favourite thing about doing the podcast? I suppose just having like a bit of a community of girls that like, I suppose I love coming in and venting. Like I love a rant. We all know I love a rant. And I feel like sometimes when I'm having really bad weeks, like Lauren will tell you this. This is fact. Sometimes I come in here and I'm miserable and literally before the podcast starts, I'm like, Lauren, sorry, I'm not going to be like my best self today. And by the end of it, I'm in a great mood and I'm really happy. And I feel like that's one thing that I love about it. I feel like no matter what, I always leave the podcast happy, even if I come in the worst mood of my life. And the second thing is probably just having like a community of girls that like we can all vent to each other. Like I feel like it's not like my podcast, it's all of our podcasts, because if yous have any questions, if yous have any dilemmas, yous can write in. And you know, I feel like it's nice to have like a kind of safe space, I want to say. And like, I know there is, I say this all the time, I know there probably is guys that listen, but I feel like the guys that listen are probably the gays. Can I say that? Am I allowed to say that? I don't know. I feel like it's probably the gay guys that listen, the girls and the gays. Maybe there is straight lads. If there's any straight lads, I'm really sorry about that. But I feel like it's a community of the girls and the gays on my podcast. And I really like that. I like having like a safe space. Also, I feel like I know there is probably people that hate me that listen to my podcast, like the whole thing. And I love that too. I'm like, imagine you hate me and you're listening to a whole hour of my voice. So that's three things. I had to throw one shady one in.
Not to mention your listens are literally paying Niamh. So yeah. Put money in our pocket.
No, exactly. Because no, do you know what? I know for a fact, because there was one person that just kept every single week, and they're probably going to comment now this week. Yeah, I've probably riled them up. There'll probably be five this week. But every week, this one person would write a hate comment. But that makes me, I don't know, I am a very petty person, okay? So it gives me this sense of like, you don't really hate me if you're listening to my voice for an hour. Because let me tell you, if I hated someone, I could not listen to an hour long podcast. I'd have to turn it off after 5 minutes. But so that's another thing. That's not a thing I love about the podcast, but it's something that I feel like turns a negative into a positive. Because even if there's people hate listening, I'm still getting paid. So,
and you've said it before as well, it's like it's so different to TikTok and stuff where people are joining your lives at any stage
yeah.
that you want, whereas with the podcast, like, you essentially, to get what you're looking for, they have to listen
yeah
to the whole
exactly
thing.
Exactly. And to act, and that brings me a sense of joy, because then I'm like, you don't really hate me. Like, it feeds my ego. You know what I mean? My big, huge, fat ego. It feeds it. It's like, you don't hate me. You're listening to my podcast. You love me. You a fan. So yeah, that's what I'd say. The fact that it's a community for the girls and the gays, and where we just vent to each other. The fact that every week leaving, I leave in a happy mood, even if I come in a bad mood. And the fact that even people that don't like me are forced to listen to 1 hour of my voice. There are three things that I love.
We've even tried to cut her down a little bit just for you haters. And she still ends up talking for an hour.
I just can't stop talking once I start. Do you know, a lot of the time, like, me, can I say this, Lauren? We come in here and we have no fucking idea what we're going to talk about.
No, it probably shows. This week is one of them.
You know the way some people are so organized? Like, Lauren is very organized, but I am like the opposite of organized. I'm organized chaos in my own head. I'm organized, but I'm not at all. So a lot of the time we're coming in, we're like, what are we going to talk about? But it works out every single time.
Yeah. And sometimes they do our best episodes.
Yeah.
So your next question says, and it's a really good one.
Okay.
Who has been your favorite guest on the podcast so far?
Oh. Oh my God.
They've all been our best friends, so this is going to be so good.
Yeah. Oh my God, I can't even remember all my guests. No, that sounds really bad. I don't mean I can't remember all my guests. I mean, I can't remember every single person that we've had on right now on the spot. Who have we had on? We've had Dylan, Daniel, Bia, Rachel, the Bia Bell girls, Molly. Who else?
Enya.
Oh my God. Yeah. Who else? This is what I mean, lads. My memory is so fucking bad. It's not even funny. Oh, Shane McCarthy, Jack Swift. Oh, lads, how am I ever supposed to choose? How am I ever supposed to choose? My favourite guest. Oh, lads, this is cruel. This is cruel. I won't say my favourite guest, right? Because I love every single person that has come in to the doors of the studio. Have we forgot anyone, by the way? I want to make sure we say every single person. Oh, the psychologist, Sarah.
Casey.
Oh my God, Casey. Lads, people are going to think I'm a dick that I can't. It's just that it's very difficult.
Alex!
Yeah, I got Alex! Well, now I don't look like so much of a dick. You see how stupid I am.
My God, he doesn't listen anyway.
Right. I'm not going to say my favourite person. What I am going to say is my favourite episode. Because I think it's probably one of my favourite episodes to date. I love every single person that has come in and given us the time on the podcast and chatted to us. And every single person I've loved in a different way. Like, obviously, some have been more serious. Some have been more playful. But one episode that I think I'll remember forever and ever and ever, and probably my favourite episode ever that we filmed, is Shane's. I think Shane's episode was brilliant. I think me and Shane just bounce off each other like so well. Like, that was the first time me and Shane had ever met in person. Obviously, we've spoken online, but it was the first time we've ever met in person. And like, Lauren couldn't get over it. Like, Lauren thought that we actually already knew each other.
Yeah, like they genuinely, even when he came into the studio, and it was like they were talking as if they knew each other for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And I was like, how long have you even known each other? And they're like an hour ago.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of rare that you meet someone that, like, especially me, I really struggle with, and Lauren has seen that firsthand, like, I struggle a lot with meeting new people or even meeting people for the first time. I can be very nervous. Like, you know, sometimes before we have guests and I haven't met them before, I am literally shitting myself. Like, I am such a nervous, anxious, like, I don't want to say anxious. I'm such a shy person, and I don't think people expect that. I'm not when you know me. Like, I'm not shy to Lauren, but I am shy to new people. And I don't think people expect that from me. But with Shane, it was just like we knew each other for 100 years. Like, there was never any of that. I think whatever I have, Shane has. Do you get me? Whatever's going on in my head's going on in Shane's. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that episode. And it's one that I'll probably listen back on. You know, oh my God. Do you know what I was thinking about the other day? Like, imagine when I'm like 50, I'm going to be able to listen to unscripted episodes.
Yeah.
And like, remind myself of like my youthful years.
Until you get yourself cancelled and we have to delete them.
No, we've done pretty well so far.
I'm joking, guys. I would never wish that upon you.
Don't touch wood right now. You're going to get me in serious trouble. That sometimes what you put out to the universe comes true, and that
I absolutely don't want it out in the universe.
No, I am never going to get cancelled. I am never going to say anything bad. Do you know what? I used to be a little rage baiter on the internet. Like, I used to rage bait all the time and like try and annoy people. And now I'm like the total opposite. I'm like, there's nothing that, like, even when Lauren Whelan got cancelled for that fucking Gen Z thing, I was like, for Lauren, I felt sick for her because number one, Lauren Whelan gets cancelled for fucking everything. Will you ever leave that girl alone? There's a Sabrina Carpenter line and it says, what is it? When you're hot, they're gonna eat you alive. And I'm convinced that that's the case with Charlene and Lauren. They're two, like, very, I think I've said this before, but they're two very, 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 very pretty girls. And they also get blamed and cancelled for everything. So I think that's so random. Why did I randomly start talking about that? But anyway, go on.
So then a follow up to that was, who would be your dream guest on the podcast?
Ooh, my dream guest on the podcast. I have a few. GK Barry would be one because I love Grace. I have so much time for Grace. I was on Saving Grace. She's such a lovely person. Another dream guest would be Michaela Testa. Never going to happen. She's in Australia, but I love Michaela. Another dream guest would be Rebecca Goodwin. I'd love Rebecca Goodwin. Like, I'd love to have her on. I think Rebecca Goodwin is a really interesting person and she has a very kind heart. She's done, like, she hasn't just blew all of her OnlyFans money like I did. She's, like, bought properties and rented them to, like, families in need and stuff, which is amazing. So I'd love to have her on. Lily Phillips, I would love to have on. A lot of people wouldn't like me to have Lily Phillips on, but I'd love to have some of the OnlyFans girls that go online and say, oh yeah, like, I just love getting railed by 1,000 men in one go. I'd love to have them on, not to, like, be like, yeah, like, good, like, do that. Because I've been in the industry. I know you're lying, okay? I've told a lot of lies in the industry that I like doing this and I like doing that and money is more important than to me than anything else. Not that there's anything wrong with doing OnlyFans, there's not. But I know the lies that people tell themselves and others within the industry to, I don't know, I suppose, make money. And it's a very high pressure industry. I'm so glad that I got out of it when I did because it's just gone balls to the wall now. Like, if you're not having sex with 100 men in one sitting, 1,000 men in one sitting, you're not making money. And I never would have been doing that, let me tell you now. So I think you guys probably would be like, no, don't platform these people. But from my perspective, I would love to have them on because I can challenge them. Like, I can actually challenge them because I've been in the industry. I know the lies that are told. I know all the tricks of the trade. So I feel like it would be an interesting discussion because I don't think anybody could pull the wool over my eyes with, I love it. I just like getting railed by 1,000 men in one go, you know? Not that there's anything wrong with that. If you want to get railed by 1,000 men in one go, you do you. But I don't believe that anybody is actually enjoying it. That's the thing.
You say people wouldn't listen to it, but yet the OnlyFans episode was one of our best today. People are interested to know these things.
Yeah, I think the OnlyFans episode we did really well because there was a panel and there was Bia, who, like, genuinely loves doing OnlyFans, would never change it for the world. Like, I know Bia. Bia is my friend in real life. And I know she would never, ever, ever change doing OnlyFans for the world. But I also know that she, like, would never go to the extremes of, like, 1,000 men in one sitting, you know what I mean? So when I say, like, those people are lying, I don't mean people like Bia that just genuinely love and enjoy doing OnlyFans. And then we had Rachel and then we had me. So I think we had really balanced, like, opinions and we had three different opinions on a lot of things. And I think that's really good. But yeah, I'm trying to think, is there anyone else?
I'd love Alex Cooper. I just love her podcast.
Call Her Daddy. I actually don't listen to... Oh my fucking God, Tana Mojo. Tana fucking Mojo. There we go. Tana. One day, guys.
Final answer.
Yeah. Tana. I think a lot of people would be my dream guests, you know? Oh my God. Do you know who else I'd love to get on? Khaki Kid.
Oh yeah.
Love Khaki Kid. And Cameron Watson and Jazzy. Irish artists. A lot of Irish artists. I have a lot of respect and a lot of time for a lot of Irish artists.
We may or may not have some already on the books.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. So the next question says, what do you hope your listeners take away from each episode of your podcast?
Oh God, this is actually a hard one because I fear every single episode is a roller coaster of emotions. I hope people rest after listening to my podcast. I hope they have a sleep and a slumber. But I hope people just take away from my podcast that I don't know how to word this, but you know the way people can look at people online and be like, oh my God, they have a perfect life. Their whole existence is perfect. Everything is going bright. They have loads of money. They have all this, these clothes. They have this, they have that. I hope people take away, I feel like a podcast is a time to actually get to know someone on a much deeper level and learn, like, their secrets. And I hope people take away from it that you can appear to have this perfect life online. Loads of money, a big house, 10 cars, whatever the hell else. There's loads of people that we all think that about, yeah? But in reality, they probably don't have a perfect life. They probably don't have all this shit that you think they do. They're probably crying inside every single day. And I know that probably seems like a bit of a negative thing to say. What I mean by that is that we're human. Do you get me? We are all human, no matter how good someone's life looks online. And that doesn't just go for influencers. That goes from even your friends that you follow online. No matter how good someone's life looks online, there's always people feeling the same emotions as you. And there's always people going through the same thing as you are. And I hope people take that away. I also hope people take away, like, I'm an oversharer, and I get criticized for that a lot. Like, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say this, especially around topics surrounding like my childhood or my abortion or things that people think are, you know, a bit risque to talk about. And I hope people take away from it that you should talk about these things, and you can talk about these things to anybody, and you absolutely should. These things should be normalized to talk about. And yeah, I just hope that my podcast puts a smile on people's face every day. That's it. Or a cry. I say it makes people cry at times, because it makes me cry 100 times a fucking day, every single day.
But that's one of the biggest comments you get, that say like that people are so happy to see that on your podcast you're still like, you know, your authentic self, and
yeah,
like that you're not afraid to tell your stories and like cry when you need to and whatever. Yeah. Like, you don't I can verify Niamh doesn't sugarcoat anything.
No.
And I don't see her being like, Niamh, you have to tell this horrific story from your childhood.
No.
Niamh is like, will I tell this story? And I'm like, go for it.
Yeah.
Our podcast. So
I don't even know how to sugarcoat. That's the thing. Like, that is a skill that I don't have. Like, I'm completely to a fault, like completely blunt and just say it how it is. I genuinely couldn't even sugarcoat if I wanted to.
And your last question is, what is the biggest challenge you've found with having your podcast?
Okay, there's two. Number one is coming up with topics, because I doubt myself all the time. And I think, why do people want to hear about my life? Why do people want to hear about my week? Why do people want to hear what I have to say on this topic? And also, I suppose, knowing how to speak gently about certain topics and knowing how to speak the right way about certain topics. As I said, I'm a very blunt person, and I don't know how to sugarcoat anything. And there's a lot of like topics that I speak about that maybe I'm really nervous about the episode coming out. Like, I've literally texted Lauren so many times being like, I'm really nervous, like, because I second guess myself all the time, and I think, did I say the right thing? I don't know, am I going to upset someone? Am I going to offend someone? Am I going to upset someone that I in my family that I told this story? Like, I just always kind of second guess myself, and that's something that I've found very challenging, and I still do. Even like when I come in and I'm talking about my week, in my head I'm going like, nobody fucking cares, and like, you probably don't care. But I also realize a lot of the time with podcasts, it's just like a friendly voice to listen to. It's a comfort thing. Like, it doesn't always have to be deep. It doesn't always have to be a super interesting topic. Sometimes people just want to tune in and hear your voice, or they use you to fall asleep. Like, I have had so many girls message me like, I fall asleep to your voice. Like, so I suppose, yeah, that's one challenge. And another challenge was actually having guests, and still I find that a challenge. And I can actually knock a lot of the time when Lauren says guests, I'm like, no. And it's not because I don't like the people, it's because I am terrified of having guests. And even though every single experience I've had has been so positive, I can't put into words, and I know people are going to go, shut up, Niamh, but anyone who knows me in real life and anyone who's actually met me in real life and spoke to me will know that I'm an oddball. Like, I'm odd. I'm really odd. And sometimes when I have guests, I feel like the nerdivergency is nerdivergencing. Is that right? Does that make any sense? Like, sometimes when I have guests, I'm so worried about having the guest and so overthinking and so concentrated on making the right expressions and looking the right way and speaking the right way and making eye contact that I'm actually not concentrating on what they're saying. And that has happened a few times where I've literally had to pause and be like, sorry guys, like, I just need to get my head together, kind of thing. So that's another challenge, and I would say that's something that I am definitely overcoming. But the first couple of guest episodes, even though they went really well, they were amazing, and I fucking love I love the episodes, and I loved people for coming on. It was definitely something that I kind of felt like, oh my god, like, am I going to be able to do this? Does that make sense? And I know people are going to go, shut the fuck up, Niamh, you're so outgoing. Girls, I am. That's one. The thing is, I don't like the idea of, oh, like, you know, you're playing a character online or you're whatever the thing is people say. I'm not playing a character online, but that's one part of my personality. And I'm so comfortable in my room recording on my phone, or I'm so comfortable here speaking with me and Lauren. You know what I mean? But it's a whole different ballgame when you introduce people that you don't know or people that you're meeting for the first time, especially when you're neurodivergent. That can be very, very difficult and very, very challenging. And yeah, there's been a lot of times where maybe even I've second guessed myself after guest episodes, isn't there? Like the guests will even, I'll be like, did I do okay? And Lauren will be like, yeah, you're fine, Niamh. I'm like, no, I feel like I sounded bad. Like, or I just second guess everything. And especially with guest episodes.
And sometimes she's like, oh, do you think this question was okay? And I'm like, that was a great question. Like, we always do up a few guide questions just in case. But like, you always fly it. You do.
Yeah.
I'm constantly trying to reassure Niamh. I'm like, this person will be really good. And it's like, no, don't worry. You'll be fine.
I'm so bad. Like Lauren will be like, oh my God, I have this person. And I'm like, no. And it's not because like I like the person. I love the person. I want to have them on my podcast. It's because I'm like, no.
The fear is in our eyes.
The fear is there. Like I just have a fucking fear. And that's something that I definitely have to get the fuck over, because you can't have a podcast and just every, like there's only so many fucking stories I can tell. Even though not really, because my life is a fucking mess. Although I feel like I need a bit of chaos back in my life, because ever since I've got with Alex, my life is very boring and like, just like, I don't know, like home bird, housewifey, I don't know, whatever you want to say. So I feel like I need a bit of chaos back, but we're going to get the chaos because it's summer. Summer comes, chaos is back.
There's another question that just came in and it said, how long have you and Lauren known each other?
No way.
Yeah. It's like we literally met, what?
Yeah, how long? 36 episodes, so...
But like we met before that. We met, when was the first?
Oh yeah, we met for the first time.
Was that June last year? It was nearly a year ago. Because then we got, then
oh
there
my
was,
God, yeah.
Yeah, because then it was the photo shoot.
Lauren, time flies when you're having fun.
It's mad. We absolutely didn't know each other prior to the podcast.
Yeah, but we got on really well straight away as well.
Yeah, like that's... Niamh could have absolutely said, I don't want her as my producer. Just for the record.
No. Do you know what was really important to me, actually? I don't think I've ever said this, but one thing that was very important to me when I was talking about the podcast was having a producer on mic. Because when you have a solo podcast, guys, I don't think you realise, like, I don't think it's difficult now because I'm used to it. But like initially, it's actually very difficult. Like you don't have like anyone to bounce off when it's a solo podcast. So I love having Lauren and Lauren being on mic, because to me, it feels like I'm not on my own, and it's not like I'm not completely on my own and I don't have to bounce off myself. So yeah, that was one of my like wishes, actually. I don't think I've ever said that on the podcast.
Thank you, Niamh.
No.
Sometimes I'm like, maybe I should shut up for 10
minutes. That was literally, I swear to God, that was one of the things that I asked, was to have a producer that would come on mic, because I wanted, do you ever see, I don't listen to this podcast, okay, this is like a fucking boyo podcast, but you know the Joe Rogan podcast?
Yeah.
You know the way he has his producer, and his producer is like fully a part of the podcast? That was what I wanted with my podcast, and we've achieved it.
Glad to be here.
Right, guys, let's move on to our trauma dump. Lauren, what have you got for me?
So here is this week's trauma dump.
So my story involves two people that I like to call my old crazy cat landlady and her naked boyfriend. And you will see why. So in June 2022, I got a job in Dublin City Centre. And I come from a small town in the Midlands. So little desperate 18-year-old me went onto Facebook looking for a student accommodation. Or just accommodation in general, because I wasn't going to a college. I couldn't get student accommodation. So this woman texted me off Facebook and offered me a room, and for some bizarre reason I took it without seeing the room, without meeting her, anything like that. So I took the room in July, and I had moved in September, and I had started the work the next day. So she had offered to drive me in and show me around. And this woman worked in a funeral home, and I know it's a funeral home, but she asked me to, like, she offered to show me her things, her office, so I did. And little did I know, was I expecting to walk into the funeral home and there be a deceased male there, and then she was like, oh, come on, I'll show you the body, this is what dead people look like. And I was like, okay, I'm leaving now. So then that happened, whatever, it was fine. A couple weeks later, here's where the naked boyfriend comes in. I get up on a Monday morning, and I had come back up from my home on the Sunday evening, and they were absolutely blueberries. And the next morning I get up to go to work, it was 8:30, and I open my door and her naked boyfriend was standing outside my door. And I just shut my door again. He was like, oh my God, I didn't know you were here. I thought it was a Sunday morning. I was like, whatever. You shouldn't be walking around your apartment anyway naked. But anyway, that happened. Then a couple weeks later after that, this woman gets a cat. And this is a big cat. And I am severely allergic to cats. And the cat would attack me. Every time he would see me, it would attack me. And when I would go home at the weekends, she knew I was allergic to cats, but yet she still let the cat into my room, and the cat would be on my bed, and it would be destroyed in cat hair. And I let all of this go for whatever bizarre reason. I have no idea. Anyway, fast forward to July 2023, almost a year after I accepted the offer for the room. And earlier on that day, we were talking about how I should move out of where I was living, because like that was the logical reasoning. And I come home at 6. I had gotten Coldplay tickets that day as well. And her naked boyfriend had asked me if I got the tickets, and I said yes. And then we sat down and we were having, in her words, bacon and soggy cabbage for dinner. And then she comes over and starts threatening me with a knife, telling me to get out and that I'm cheeky, and started calling me all sorts of names under the sun. And I had gotten home at 5:50 and I had gotten kicked out by 6:10. And one of the girls from work came and picked me up and dropped me to another girl's house, and I have never seen her since. So, yeah, that is my huge drama story.
Yeah, that just sounds like the house, not housemate. Are you a housemate? Housemate from hell. That, you need to like make a video about that on TikTok, because those like roommate from hell videos go pop off. They go insane. Yeah, that sounds horrific. Horrible. I want to know how much you were paying for that fucking room to put up with that bullshit.
She brought her into the funeral home and all, like to see the dead body.
Yeah.
Jesus.
No, the whole thing is like, my mind splats after listening to that, because there was that many like bad things that happened. It was like one after another. Girl, I hope you heal from that trauma, because that is traumatic. Also, why was the man naked all the time? Like, I don't understand why he was naked all the time. Right, guys, my head is mush after that trauma dump. Girl, you've mushed my brain. There was that many fucking traumatic things in it. Normally, there's only one traumatic thing. That was about 20 different traumatic things. But let's move on to a dilemma and get my brain back to normal. I don't know if it'll be normal, actually, after a dilemma. It'll probably be even worse.
So your dilemma for this week says, hi, Niamh, love your podcast so much. I have a dilemma for you. I've been working at my job for nearly 2 years now. I love my job, but lately there's been a co-worker who is making my job so hard. She is very negative, and I find negative people very draining. I know we all need to complain from time to time, but overall, I am quite a positive person. Anyway, she's been undermining a lot of my work, and I've been trying to be civil, but distant, as they say. However, the tension between us began to build. On Wednesday, our manager made us sit down together to try and talk and clear the air. It did not go well. She kept cutting me off and wouldn't look at me. I feel the talk made things worse in some ways, but I'm also glad I got to say what I wanted to say. The woman, though, still ignores me and won't even talk to me unless I talk to her. I'm now completely lost on what to do. I love my job, but she's making me feel like I'm back in secondary school. I don't want to leave my job, but I also feel that it may be the only option. I feel I've tried every other possible avenue with this woman, who's older than me, by the way. Help, what do you think?
Did she say she went to HR?
She went to their manager.
Yeah, you need to go to HR. Fuck the manager. Go straight to HR. That's like a HR issue.
Like, do you know how, why do people even act like that in a workplace ever? Like, if you don't fucking like someone, just don't fucking speak to them. Like, that's the end of the story. Like, there's no need for this, like, bullshit bullying going on in a workplace when you're both adults. Obviously, it's not your fault. But I would just go straight to fucking HR and report it to HR, because once it's reported to HR, they will do something about it. Like, they have to. For the good of the company, they have to. And if you're feeling like she's undermining you and you're being made feel uncomfortable in work, that's not fair. Like, no one should feel uncomfortable in work. And nobody should be made feel like they have to leave a job that they love because some fucking dickhead is ruining their day every day. So I'd 1,000,000% go to HR and report her. I know some people would say don't do that, like just try and speak to her. But she sounds very unreasonable. Like, she doesn't sound like somebody that you could get two words in, you know what I mean? And maybe she's doing it to other people in the company. I would definitely report it. What would you do, Lauren?
Well, I was literally about to say, like, if she has a problem with her and she's that bad, I wouldn't say you're the only person in the business that has the issue.
Yeah.
So I would imagine it would probably help your case to go to HR, and then you never know, there could have been other cases against her, and then that kind of builds, how many times can one person say case? It kind of builds a case against her then to, you know, for HR to do something about her. So
yeah, I would 1,000,000%, like, don't let that lie. If you're being made feel uncomfortable in a workplace, that is not okay, ever. Like, we're not in school. Everyone's fucking grown up here. Like, there shouldn't be this bitchy, catty back and forth. Nobody should be made feel less than another person or patronised. You know what I mean? And that goes for even managers. Like, trust and believe me, if I ever go back to a 9-to-5 now, I will never let a manager speak to me the way I used to let managers speak to me. Like, when I worked in call centres, the way that the shit that I used to put up with and the way I used to get spoken to, and I used to just put up with it. I don't think anybody, including a manager, shouldn't be speaking even to an employee, screaming at them or making them feel less than or making them feel shit. Obviously, you can give corrections and stuff, but I just think a workplace should always be a positive place. And I think better work gets done when a workplace is positive. Like, morale is a big thing. People are more willing to work when they're happy. So yeah, I think the biggest piece of advice that I could give you is to go to HR. I know that's really scary and it seems really severe, but like, just fuck it, just do it. I think I've gone to HR before in jobs.
No, I've never been to HR for anything. I've never really had as big of a problem with someone to go there. But what I will also add to what I said earlier, if you love your job, I'm sure it shows.
Yeah.
So they're always going to respect you more than this person who, if they are like being bad at their job, it's probably because they don't like it anyway. So they're always going to be the person that likes their job and is good at their job more so than the person that is bad at their job and treating people badly.
Yeah. When I worked in a call centre, I was with HR a few times. Like, not, I don't think I was getting in trouble. I think maybe once I got in trouble because I was on my phone or something. I probably shouldn't say that. Like, what if I ever need to get hired again? Maybe cut that out, Lauren. I think I've been to HR for different things, like not me getting in trouble, like just four different things. And they've always been super helpful. Like, it's always a really like helpful, like they're always really nice, HR managers as well. I think HR managers are always really nice, but maybe they're just trained to be really nice because that's the fucking job. But yeah, I think nobody should be making anybody feel like crap in a job. Nobody. I don't even think if they're above you that they should be making you feel like crap. I think work gets done better when everyone's happy and everyone works well together. And that obviously goes both ways, but you've made every bit of effort and this person has not, so. Right, guys, that brings us to an end of today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. It was a bit of a chaotic one, bit of an unorganized chaotic one, but it worked out. See, Lauren, it always does.
Yeah, it does, to be fair.
Guys, as usual, if you have any dilemmas, please send them in to us at unscripted@goloudnow.com, or you can send them over to our Instagram at unscriptedgoloud. And please send us in trauma dumps. We want to hear the most traumatizing story that's ever happened to you. Please send them in to us on Instagram in voice note form at unscriptedgoloud. As usual, guys, see you here next week. Mwah, love you.
Unscripted with Niamh O'Connor, a Go Loud original podcast.